being one of the only women in your space is really, honestly, awe-inspiring, but also can be very intimidating. And there's a lot of parts, I think, that come with being one of the few amongst many differences, all the stuff. So in this episode today, we talk about a lot of things. So let's roll.
Welcome to the Women of YouTube podcast. This podcast is hosted by me, Desiree Martins. Every week, I'm going to be showing up in your earbuds to inspire you on your YouTube journey with killer interviews with women YouTube creators, deep dives into the inner workings of how YouTube works, and discussing all the things about YouTube culture and the impact it is having on our world. This podcast is brought to you in partnership with vidIQ, where they help you maximize your video's YouTube reach by studying titles, descriptions, tags, and playlists relevant to your subject matter, while also studying your competitors to help you know exactly what you should be doing for your YouTube growth. So if you're a female creator looking to grow your channel, level up your content, and learn from the best women creators on the platform to get you on your way to YouTube success and future-proofing your income, this is the perfect place for you. Let's do this.
What's up, ladies? Welcome to the episode of the Women of Video podcast. So excited, as always, to be in your earballs to talk about things. Today, we are fighting the patriarchy. We are uplifting women. We are talking about how badass we are, all of the things. And if you tend to watch this podcast, I'm sorry. I recorded the introduction for this already on video after I did the episode with Lila, our guest today, and apparently the audio didn't work, and so I could only do an audio version, otherwise it would not be getting done. So to keep with our timetables, we are going for perfect, done is better than perfect sort of situation. So I found Lila because I needed help with stuff. Like, she helped me with lighting, like I talk about a little bit of like how she came into my world in the episode, but y'all, like, she's one of the only women out there that talks about cinematography and equipment and things like that. Like, other than that, as she says, it's all the Canadian boys who do it too. So we talk about, like, the patriarchy and, like, fighting it and how women are possibly amazing and all of the things. This is really uplifting. And we talk about, like, how she's done it, what she does to make money, like, how she's doing the things where she lives. It's just a really good conversation. And I'm really excited to share it with you because it was just, like, just listen, like, you'll feel the same way I felt after it is done. I'm 100% positive. And make sure you go leave some comments for us over on Spotify about, like, how you felt about it and all the things, because I would love to read some of those and, like, include them in our next episode. So without further ado, here is me and Lila's talk. I am so excited for our talk today, Lila. I have been a longtime admirer, first time caller within our situation here. And so I can't wait to talk with you about your creator journey. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right. Tell us, what do you create on the internet, Lila?
I make videos about videos. It's very, I don't know, it's very meta, but basically I have a YouTube channel where I share everything that I know about filmmaking, whether that's video editing tutorials, camera reviews, just I really want to help people tell stories in video format. So that's what I try to do.
Okay. How did you get into this? Because you and I probably both know a lot of people that do a lot of video editing, like specific, like creating better content stuff. But I don't get often opportunity to talk to a woman who does it. So how did you get into this? What led you down this path? Give us those details.
Gosh. Well, first of all, I have to say it's very distracting to be switching to my face. Hi. No, it's fine. You can switch to my face. It's totally fine. I just saw it happen and I was like, my undiagnosed ADHD went, whoo, that's interesting.
It's okay. We record this in StreamYard and it has different like settings. And so I do a video version. And so when someone's talking, I usually give them the full screen attention. That way you don't have to look at like my weird face.
Okay.
They've seen it for 200 something episodes. They're really sick of me at this point, I'm sure.
I don't think so. How can you get sick of that pretty face? Come on.
Thank you. So, all right, how did you get to here?
Well, as a kid, I've always been into storytelling. I did some musicals when I was a kid. I tried to write a book. I was very ambitious. I was very into stories. And then with my dad, we always used to watch movies and like the behind the scenes. And I'm talking like the first Harry Potter movies that are actually so bad now. But back then it was quite impressive. And I just, I don't know, I was just always interested and in storytelling and in video editing, but I never really got the chance to really explore it until about like 5 years ago. That's when I was just kind of looking for my passion in life again. I was just not in a happy place. And I remember that as a kid, I always was intrigued by stories and like, you know, motion pictures or like moving pictures of, I don't know how you say that, but I decided to finally make my first video and just edit and learn Premiere Pro. And that's how I got into it. And then I decided to start a YouTube channel because I don't really have any creative local friends here that like the same thing that I do, which is film, video editing. So I was hoping that by creating my little space on the internet, I would meet like one or two people that I could actually talk to about this kind of stuff. And then it just kind of exploded and it turned into something that I never wanted. Because fun little fact, I remember when I was reaching almost 100 subscribers and I was on the couch with my sister and my sister said, Lila, I think one day you might get 1,000 subscribers. And I just sat there and I was like, oh, heck no, no, that's too many people. I do not want that. So, but here we are and I love it and I'm very grateful, but
get out 100,000 plus people.
Yeah, it's wild. It's wild. But yeah, that's basically the origin story. I just wanted to create some videos and hopefully meet some friends online and it turned into this.
It's kind of like making a podcast about women YouTubers and creators so that you can find other women who do this too, so you can feel less crazy about what you do. So, I mean, I totally get that. We have to find our people, and sometimes we have to create the space for our people to find us. Like, that's how I found my husband, of all things. This is like way back, like 2009. I found
everything.
It was so long ago. I moved to a new city and I knew no one. I didn't have like the comforts of school or a job or anything to like make friends in. So I remember going online and searching how to make friends as an adult. I found this website called meetup.com. And it still exists this day for the same exact purpose, which is to like bring people together around common interests. And I met my best friend at the time through a nerd meetup it was a geek meetup. And then that group disbanded. So we made our own called Nerds. And my husband came to one of our like first few events that we ever did and was all downhill from there. Like, but we
downhill.
All uphill, all like a wonderful journey together. I'm like
rainbows and unicorns.
I really am obsessed with my husband. He's the best in the family and the life that we've made. We brought together literally thousands of people in through this nerds meetup around common interests, and they would like section off into subcategories. And there's tons of people that like got married and have kids, like all from being in this group and things like that. So sometimes you just have to make the space for you to find your people in. And so the question I have is, did you find your people locally?
Locally? No. I still very much feel like an island, but internationally and like online, absolutely. And those friends, they've become some of my best friends, and we go see each other and we do things. So that is incredible. Like, this has enriched my life in so many ways. But locally, I would say that at least like my niche is still pretty much just not really existent, you know?
I live in a very small town in Michigan, and I tell people what I do and they look at me funny, and then they instantly are like, well, what does your husband do? Because like they don't understand like, that I could actually make money as doing this. Like, how's that cute little YouTube channel of yours doing? And then when I tell them like my husband doesn't work, it's almost like the Wile E. Coyote, like they double take their face. Like, what? How do you live here? And because we live in a pretty nice place, and they're like, how do you like, they're like okay, you need to explain yourself, ma'am. And so I totally understand that. But like, what's so funny is like, I keep randomly finding people like 30, 40, an hour away from where I am that are also in like little islands as well of content creators.
Yeah.
It's so funny. How, and this is a great, I think, conversation to have, which we've not had before, ironically, is let's talk about friendships and being a creator for a minute, because I am very much like you. Like, I have been able to make incredible friendships with people that, like, my entire relationship exists through the phone. Like, oh, I watched that video you posted, or I listened to that podcast, or I listened to this thing. You got to go check it out. And then we end up, like, sending voice messages back and forth, like, sharing ideas and brainstorming and siloing. And then, like, if we're lucky, we see each other once a year at, like, an annual conference that we go to all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
So how valuable do you think those friendships are? And what are the secrets you think to maintaining those relationships?
Well, I think those friendships are very important, especially because of the work that we do. The work that we do is kind of weird and it gets lonely. And it still gets lonely because I'm literally by myself all the time, filming videos, thinking of videos, editing videos, and doing the whole thing over and over again, just me. So it still gets lonely, but having people that get it, even though they're in your phone, I think that without those friends, I would probably still love making videos, but I probably would maybe not be where I am now, because the funnest part is community and just chatting with people, not even just friends, but also just the people that follow the journey and that comment. And it's the community is the funnest thing ever. And I think the biggest gift when it comes to having a YouTube channel. And the secret to maintaining them is just spam them, like keep calling them up and keep stalking them and send them memes. And like, they cannot get rid of you. That's how you do it.
I think it's actually like, honestly, it's keep showing up, even if it's like, I haven't talk to you in a week, but then like we talk incessantly for 2 days and we don't talk for a month and then we talk incessantly for 3 days or whatever. I get that. Yeah. But I also think there's something to be said, like if you are able to build a really solid relationship with somebody that you've known for a while online, like intentionally find a way to spend time together. And so like here are my two pieces of advice around this. Is one, I got from my friend, she's a fellow military spouse. And she says, because she's got friendships all over the place, they will all find one central cheap airport that they can all fly to, and they just leave first thing in the morning and go to the airport. Then they spend the day at the airport just talking and hanging out, and then they go home that night. It's like no luggage, just a purse and your passport or your ID, and we'll buy food and stuff here. And just that, like that accidental spending time together, like intentionally spending time together, and because it's not about what you do or where you are, it's about being together. And then my second point is like, find something you can do together. So I'm friends with Jessica Stansberry, and we are both big Gilmore Girls nerds. It's like this, it's this show about a daughter and a wife. We're going to go do a Gilmore Girls road trip in New England, Connecticut together in the fall. We're like, we've been talking about it for a while. I saw all these like TikToks about it and stuff, and I sent them to her. I'm like, we should do this. Then I was like, should we actually do this? She's like, I think we should. And so we actually like scheduled it for October. I'm really excited about it. And of course, we'll probably vlog about it, but it's still really funny.
Were you rooting for Luke?
I always was rooting for Luke, but I'm definitely Team Logan when it comes to Gilmore Girls stuff. So
okay. Yeah, I can see that.
I mean, he just makes sense. They both have those complicated layers, same lifestyles, they support each other, they show up, like it's all that.
I still want to know who Rory is pregnant with, or like,
I know,
who,
I don't know
if we're pregnant.
I don't know if we're ever gonna get that answer, and it makes my heart really
maybe angry. Yeah, maybe in 10 years, because it did like a 10-year reunion thing, so maybe in another 10 years we're gonna see a 10-year-old kid that is hopefully Logan's. We'll see.
Yeah, and it has to be a girl, of course. It has to continue with like the Gilmore Girl, like,
absolutely. Oh my god, I would be so here for it 10 years from now. I'm down.
And the mom, the grandma, Emily, the actress wrote a book called The Third Gilmore Girl that like is coming out too. So soon. So I'm like, I got to get that situation.
Oh, yeah,
well.
You should. Yeah.
It's going to be a whole thing. It's always so funny to me to watch her because she's in Dirty Dancing. She's the mom from Dirty Dancing. Oh, and I'm like, that's what I know her from. I don't know how we got here, but here we are. Okay, let's just bring it back to being a creator a little bit. But yeah. Friendships and intention is so important. So you're on this creator journey because you are trying to learn and know more and find your people and stuff. So along that journey, when did you kind of realize this could actually be my job? What was that like?
Well, I think I went full time 1.5 years after I started my YouTube channel, and it was never my intention to do it full time because I never really wanted to be a YouTuber, but I just really liked making videos. And for me, it was honestly just brands being interested in working with me. So they would, you know, want to invest in my channel. And that just got to a point where I didn't take any brand deals, I think, for the first 1.5 years either, because I just wanted to make videos and I didn't want to, you know, get distracted by money in any sort of way. But then I think in December 2020, it was, I think so, I'm not entirely sure. That's when I just thought, you know what, I'm just going to give it a go. I'm just going to dive in. I'm just going to jump in and try it out. And it worked out really well so far. So knock on wood, it will continue that way.
Okay, so what is your unique difference as a video, lighting, camera equipment content creator? Besides the fact, not besides the fact, especially based on the fact that you are a woman and the vast majority of those educators are men. So what is your unique angle and spin and perspective that you bring?
I mean, it's going to sound so cheesy, but I think everyone's unique. So everyone brings something to the table and it's all different. And we all explain the same thing in a different way and we bring different energy. And I think for me, it's my personality. It's my energy. It's the fact that I am a woman. It's the fact that English is not my first language. So I'm from Europe. So I think I'm unique in all of those kind of ways because I'm not like a Canadian boy. I love my Canadian boys, but you know what I mean? In my niche, there is a lot of Canadian men. But yeah, no, I think, I don't know. I think what makes me unique, I don't know, just being me, just like you are you.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a satisfying answer at all?
It's what is it? Like that Dr. Seuss quote, there's no one in the world quite like you. You are the you that there is, right?
Yeah.
I think it's important. But I think that one of the things, though, that has happened, though, is that we as content creators evolve into who we are, especially when like we become good at it and when we try to find success at it. Because in order to have success, usually a specification has to happen. Like you have to kind of become the specific version of who you are. Your audience is specific. What you talk about is specific. It's not all the same, of course, but it has that differentiating thing. How do you figure out who you are, what you're about and stuff so that your audience can grow and you can grow as a creator?
How do I know who I mean, I'm still, I don't know. I'm just me, man. I just make videos. I don't know how to answer that question, to be honest. I feel like there's not as much strategy behind who I am or something. I don't know. Could you maybe rephrase that question?
Yeah. So let me get some context. So like, we've as YouTube educators, like the constant thing is like you have to like know who you're talking to, like who's your target person, who are they, what problems do they have, and how are you solving it? And then also like, okay, and that's okay, then your delivery and like how you talk and how you come across, that's like the unique selling point of view, because it allows for relatability and connectivity. So for me, I talk really fast, I'm super sassy, I try to be direct and to the point, I don't tend to ramble. You know, just like those kinds of things about who I am. I'm also very personable. Like you're in this podcast, I'm very real and honest because I feel that that's what my audience needs and wants. And because they've told me that. I try not to be too like formal. And again, we have tangents about Gilmore Girls and lady parts and periods and pink tax, all that kind of stuff. Right. So when it comes to being a content creator, success comes from knowing who you want to talk to, like who you are as a content creator so that you can be relatable. And then also from all of that, like it all comes together in head, but figuring that out can be hard. And like, I ask this because there's so many of those creators that are out there. Like, well, I'm interested in so many things. I want my YouTube channel to be about all these different topics.
Yeah.
I want to be able to talk about two wildly separate things in the same space. Like I want to be able to talk about video equipment and cooking at the same time, or, you know, like for those two wildly different things. Right. So it's like, how can a content creator silo their parts so that they can be effective on platforms?
I think that the first question you need to ask yourself is, what do you want to achieve on YouTube? Like, do you want to achieve success? And success can be defined in so many ways, but let's just define it as growth. Because in that case, it's going to be really important to focus on a specific group of people that's going to be interested in a specific thing. However, if growth may not be the way that you define success and you just want to be happy and just want to make videos, then you can make videos about everything on your channel. Like, then it doesn't matter. But I think what ties it all together, regardless of whether you're talking about a few different things, like a few different buckets, is also your personality. Like, everything lives under you. So there is a friend of mine. Oh my gosh, she is so good. Becky from Becky and Chris.
Okay.
She's the best. And she does different kind of things on her channel. Like, she's introduced camping now, even though she, like, they used to have, so they have the joint account, but Becky does like most of the editing and stuff. They used to have a lot of filmmaking stuff, and they still do, but they also have a helicopter. So they have helicopter series, and now they do camping because they bought like this truck and whatever. Like, they're introducing these wildly different topics, but it really works for their channel because people are also invested in them. And it's like this group of people that enjoys all of those topics and maybe is not interested in camping, but is interested in camping the way that they capture it. So and they're very successful at it as well. So I don't think that there is one specific way to be successful, but I think that I wouldn't say easiest way, but like the easiest way to be successful is to just focus on one very specific topic and just be yourself, because otherwise people are going to know that you're not being yourself. So
look, I'm really sorry to interrupt, but did you know that YouTube is the world's second biggest search engine? Maybe you did, maybe you didn't, but that's why every creator truly needs to be using vidIQ to grow their YouTube channel. vidIQ's tech helps you tailor your video ideas to match what people are searching for right now on YouTube. And once you're ready to upload, well, it starts optimizing and getting you all the details that you need to make sure your videos are getting noticed. If you really want to dive in more and get started for free, please head over to thewomenofyoutube.com/vidIQ to get started on this YouTube channel changing tool that is going to make things so much easier for you. All right, let's get back to it.
One of the things I've been sitting on a lot about and like thinking about my brain, I look at the creator economy. It's one of the most sought after gigs for the vast majority of people. Like, it's the new side hustle. It's the thing that kids want to be. Brands want to be there. Businesses want to be there. It's all this stuff. But the thing that is such a mind fuck about it is that there's nothing like this space. Mm-hmm. Like, when you think about going, like, you think about going to college and getting a job to be like an accountant. Like, you go to school for 4 years, you get your degree, you go out into the world and you do accounting stuff. And like, you're either good at it or you're bad at it. Or even if you're bad at it, you probably can still get a job. And you just, you do it and you grow and you switch companies and you make more money. And it's a steady stream of where you do it. And like, it has this sort of thing you're good at. Maybe you continue to get licensing and upgrades around stuff. The content creator space is so weird because the way to start in this space for the vast majority of people that are aspiring content creators is you have to start creating stuff knowing that you're going to fail and knowing that you're not going to get paid any money.
Yeah.
And it's so, and it also moves so fast and requires constant state of like attention and growth and creativity. And it can just be really, really hard and really draining. What is it about this space that though, that is so appealing that keeps so many people wanting to do it and then sticking to it and staying here once they figure, like, they find success? Like, what is the draw to this crazy world that it's so out of our control, that's always changing, and that can cause burnout ultimately for a lot of people? They just want to walk away. I don't think accountants get burnout and walk away from their careers all that often, or lawyers or doctors or whatever. Like, they just do the job and then they go home and have a life.
I mean, I don't know. I feel like I have a different perspective on it, because I think that if you find this draining, you should not be doing YouTube. You should be doing it because you love it and you enjoy it, because the chances of you making money with it, it's slim. It's possible, but for a lot of people, it may take years. And are you going to stick around for years in order to get to that point? And that is why I personally think that please just start YouTube because you enjoy it and you love the process, because it's going to be very unrewarding otherwise. You know, because growth can happen very quickly, but it could also happen in like 5 or 10 years from now, if ever. It's just one of those things where I don't know. Like, I think to be honest, and I'm Dutch, so I'm just going to be very direct about everything. I just think it's glamorized in a lot of ways as well. Because a lot of the time we just sit at our desk all the fuck, all the time. I've been trying so hard not to swear.
Go ahead, swear, please. It's who you are. I just feel like it's a mind fuck to be on this space. So
true.
I didn't sit in a fucking mess all day. You're not wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, you're just at your desk all the fucking time. You're just like by yourself a lot as well. It is not as glamorous. It's not like, oh, we're on private planes all the time. We're flying to Bora Bora making amazing travel vlogs. Because even if you go on a trip like that, it's usually not what it looks like. I think a lot of people, they want to do YouTube because of the benefits. And I am not going to deny the benefits. The fact that I can do what I love, which again is the key, what I love, is great. And that you get to be flexible with your time. Don't get that twisted though, because you do end up working more than a 9-to-5. But it's just so fun. So I get it. But at the same time, is it for everyone? I don't know. Should it be for everyone? I don't think so.
I don't think anything is supposed to be for anybody. Like, we still need people to do doctors and be accountants and, you know, yeah, us creatives. We're not usually great at that stuff. So we're not good at logistics usually. So, for people that can be, so they can help us be successful too. So share with us on your personal journey. What are some of the things that you have had to overcome that maybe even you considered like quitting what you were doing at one point in time?
I think I am a person, I put a lot of pressure on myself, and I'm very like perfectionistic, which is something that you hear a lot as well. How do I say this? I've learned to let go, but it's definitely hard to always keep wanting to be better and always wanting more. And it's okay to just be where you're at. And imposter syndrome is great too. I have a great experience with that. Years and years and years and years of that. But yeah, imposter syndrome is something that I think a lot of creators go through as well, where you just don't feel adequate and you feel like they're going to find out you're a fraud, you know? That's something that I have struggled with a lot as well, because I just never feel adequate. And I'm just always happy to be here, you know? I'm like, I'm happy to be on this podcast. Do I think I should be on here? I don't know. But I'm just happy to be here.
Are you a woman who does video? Then I think that qualifies you to be.
Oh, is it that easy?
There's a little bit more to it than that, but that's what, like I said, the point of this podcast is to talk to women who are in the video space, like how they're thriving, surviving, dying, yeah, like all of the moves that happen.
I mean, the one thing I'm gonna tell you something. The one thing that I think about when I feel imposter syndrome is like, what would a man do or say in this situation? And then I do the same. Because they will apply to a job when they're only 65% qualified or whatever the statistic is. So if I'm scared to do something, well, what would a man do? The man would do it. The man would say it. So here I am doing the feeling very uncomfortable doing and saying the same thing. Because that's just, you know.
It's like that TikTok trend. Like, I ask myself, like, I mean, how hard it can be? A man does it. And then I asked, I was like, yeah, Matt, how hard can it be? A man does it. Like, yeah. Is that process. Why do you think women let themselves stop when mediocre men like bullet train?
Oh my God, that is such a deep question. That just society, nature, nurture, all the things. I don't know. I think we as women, we're just, oh my God, I'm just going to go on a little bit of a tangent, because I saw the best TikTok yesterday. I need to send it to you. It's about, who is it? I think her name is Florence Given or something. I don't know. But she made this video about how amazing it is to see a woman glow up when she does what she loves. And she just forgets for a second about how she looks and how she's, you know, being conceived or not conceived, conveyed. Or how do you say that? I don't know. It's not my first language. You know what I mean? Like how, yeah, perceived. That's the word. How she's being perceived. She's just in the moment, just doing what she loves. And I think women often, we worry about how we're being perceived, because I'm a massive Billie Eilish fan. I don't know if you know the Not My Responsibility one, where she's just like, if I show skin, I am too much of a S. And if I don't show enough skin, then I'm this. And it's just hard balancing all of that in society, I think, as a woman, whereas men, they have their own fair share of struggles and expectations, but I feel it. I feel like it's very different when you're a woman. It is. But being a woman is amazing, by the way. I love being a woman. Women are fucking incredible.
Sorry. You're not wrong. I agree with you more. I have a very non-traditional relationship as well. Like I breadwin. I'm in charge around here. My husband is a stay-at-home dad, and his job is to cook and clean and take care of our kids. Like there are things that happen with our children, and I'm like, what's happening here? He's like, oh, here, let me go into this like 45-minute story about like what led to this. And I'm like, cool. Like that's, I remember because we had reached a point in our relationship. So I had to have the kids. I had to make them. That was still my job. I had to cook them and stuff. But, and I had, I don't think it was unfortunate. Like, I mean, it's a really unique bonding. It's a great experience men never get to go through. And I know there's lots of women out there that wish they could go through that. I feel very fortunate being able to have done that. And then I also like breastfed and took care of them until they were like, my daughter was like 3, my son was 4. And then we had we started this gradual switching process where we knew I was going to become the main breadwinner and he was going to transition to something else because he also developed PTSD from time in service. And so his job was to heal and take care of our kids. And it's just been such an interesting like shift because I deal with like the emotional and hormonal stress of motherhood where it's like, I'm not spending enough time with them. I miss my babies. I'm missing out on stuff. When did they get all big and all that, all those things. And without fail, I always make this joke and I say it until it isn't true. Whenever I travel, every single time I travel for work, someone will always ask me, well, who's watching your kids? I'm like, oh no, I left them at the airport. I forgot them.
Wait,
oh,
no. Your husband is babysitting the kids?
Yeah, that's so, like, no, he's taking care of his children.
He's such a good dad. He's babysitting his kids?
Oh, my husband would never, or could never, like, all that stuff. And I'm just like, sorry. Like, I don't know what to say.
Like, wow. Oh, like, my, if like there's one... If there's one thing that pisses me off, it's these TikToks of men, like, I don't know, like loading the dishes or doing like basic stuff. And people are like, oh my God, I need a man like this. I will not settle for less. And I'm like, dude, this is the bare fucking minimum. What do you mean? It's an equal partnership. What do you mean? Babysitting the kids? Go away, please.
Yeah. But, and to counter for him, like he has the other side of it where, because he's almost always the only dad at stuff for our kids, The women that are around don't know what to do with him. So they isolate him and keep him out of stuff. And he's treated less than, like, if he volunteers at the kids' school to, like, do aid work or go to the field trips, or he's the snack dad for the week at, like, soccer, like, all that stuff. Like, they look at him like, wait, why are you here? Why do you know how to do this? Like, and so it just becomes this whole like mean girl thing counter to it as well. So it's just really frustrating the programming that we have so systemically. And I'm really excited, hopefully, as like these Gen Zers come up and all of the stuff that they have fought against. And like, I know the little honey badger generation I'm creating where my daughter is like, I'm going to go be a successful businesswoman. And my son's like, what do you want to do? Like, what's one of your goals for life? He's like, I want to be a dad. Like, that's like his goal. I'm like, cool. It's to be a dad and play soccer for Team USA. Like, those are his goals. I'm like, I can handle that. Like, those are totally fine. So it's just this really thing, but being a woman is true. That's why we sign out of this podcast every time. Like, when, like, you are impossibly amazing. Women are impossibly amazing creatures who do amazing things all the time. Even if they feel that they are in the most mundane, normal place in life, they're doing something awesome because they're doing something that generations before them didn't get to do, or that they're like some sort of generational curse that they are breaking, or trauma, or working through something, or supporting in a way they haven't before. Like, they're doing something hard and amazing and it moves them forward. And what's so amazing about being a content creator within that is that we all get to share to inspire and lift up all of the women along the way so that they know what they can do and what's available to them, which is probably why so many women are like not getting married and not having kids and doing all this stuff, because they're like, the world doesn't want me to. It's like, once I become a mom, I become non-existent and become less than societally. So it just becomes like a, why do it?
Yeah. One thing that really breaks my heart is when women do not want to start a YouTube channel because they're intimidated. For example, for me, when I start, like, I entered this male-dominated space, right? Like, there are so many men in my filmmaking niche. But funnily enough, or I don't know if I should say funnily enough, but I never for a second even considered that, because that's just not the way that I was raised. Like, I could do whatever as a kid. Like, it was never, I've never really been taught I've never really been as conscious of the fact that I'm a woman until after I started YouTube and people started like pointing out that I was a woman. Cause before I just did whatever I wanted to do. And I mean, I still do, but you know, like I really wish for whoever, if you want to start a YouTube channel, like, please do not hold back because of the way that you identify or whatever else it could be. If you want to do something, just do it.
I had the same thing happen to me. Like, I learned how to do YouTube from a woman, from Amy Schmidtower Landino. I read her book, Vlog Like a Boss, in like 2017. And I was like, yeah, this is what's going to help me with my problem. And I didn't realize that it was a problem for me to be there until I started getting comments about like my weight, how I looked, what I was doing, how I talked, how I presented. And I was like, what does that have to do with social media? Like, what is wrong with you?
Yeah.
And then when I want to take YouTube really seriously and learn more, the only people I could find to learn from were men, which is why this podcast exists. Because I got sick of being on this island where I was expected to operate and function and exist and learn from men. I'm like, you don't know how to, like, I have children and I'm doing this. Where's the help and advice for like systems and tips for helping me create and batch and bulk and all the things while also having to breastfeed and take care of babies? Like, none of them. They're like, no, I don't do that. I don't have that. My wife takes care of that for me. And I'm like, cool. Like, that sounds great. So like, I had to go find, when we talked earlier about making a space, I had to make my space to find people so we could learn from each other. And I selfishly, it was so I could learn from them. Like, how are you doing this? Cause I am just lost. And then it's turned into all this almost 5 years later. Things were getting really good over in our interview, but I wanted to take a minute to remind you that we now have a new home for the Women of Video community. You can head over to Patreon right now, and we have the link in our show notes that you can go find it there, where we're going to be able to have after show information. We're going to have chats. We're going to have information and just come together to answer questions and connect and support each other as creators. This whole creator thing can be really confusing and can be really lonely. So let's come together to support each other like the badass women that we are. Head over to patreon.com/womenofvideo to get started now.
I mean, the comment thing is what you just mentioned about comments, about getting comments about your looks and your weight and whatever. That part is so fascinating to me, that men comment on my stuff, things that I'm just like, why do you feel so entitled to have to say anything about my looks? Who are you? Just in general, I don't think you should comment on anyone's appearance anyway, or anyone's weight. Like, it happened to me in a comment section recently, where someone asked me like, hey, it looks like you lost weight. You look incredible. And, I was just like, well, I'm sorry, I didn't say I'm sorry, but I just said that I do not appreciate anyone commenting on my or someone else's body, because you never know why someone has gained or lost weight. I also don't think it's fair to say, it's losing weight.
It's unrelated to the content. What
does that too? That have too. To do with
cameras.
Yeah.
And lighting. And
that's the thing about. I mean, I've gotten them all. I've gotten like comments from people saying, "Hey, I think you should adjust your white balance because your teeth are yellow. Hey, you need to adjust your camera angle because your forehead is big." And I'm like, "Well, what if I do have a big forehead?" And then they're like, "Oh, sorry, I didn't mean it that way." Well, maybe just shut up and
I got a comment recently. Someone said, "You sound drunk." And my comment back to him was, "You sound like a dick." So I'm like, I don't have the capacity for this. Like, that has nothing to do with how to make a Facebook page.
Yeah. I think it's always men. I mean, I think it's interesting how women often get those comments way more than men, because there is a certain level of entitlement when it comes to women where, I don't know, people just expect a woman to be a certain way. But I do think that something, when it comes to hate comments, not necessarily comments on my body or my appearance, but just hate comments in general, something that I always do, because I'm not really affected by them, because I usually just have empathy for the person. Because if you imagine what it takes for someone, like what it takes for you to watch a video and then go down to that comment section, write a comment, and instead of just like leaving the video, because we all see videos that were just like, ah, it's not really my thing, or oh, this is not really my kind of person, you just move on. So the fact that you go ahead and write a comment just shows that you're struggling. So I just try to have empathy for those people, and that way it just stays out of my thing, because I know it's nothing, it has nothing to do with me. And I think that really, really helps deal with the negativity that you sometimes get on social media, if you want to enter social media, because I know that that is something that people like are afraid of, because you do put yourself out there to be, you know, covered in tomatoes and stuff.
I think it's important for women to know, it's like, look, there's always going to be people that are not going to be supportive or don't like you, whatever. And whether that happens in our real life, like we've all went to high school, like we've all been around people that were like, just we're not vibing or feeling each other, and you just kind of want to punch them in the face a little bit. Like we all have those people at kid pickup line or the grocery store or in a room full of people. And it's going to be like that online, and it's okay, because for every like one person that says something unnecessary, there's so many other people that are like, oh my God, thank you. Mm-hmm. And there's also a lot of people that like are watching you and not saying anything, and they continue to watch you and support you because they're just lurking and getting what they need from you because they don't know what to say at that moment.
Yeah.
And that's okay. Like that's totally okay. And I think that it's important for you to start and suck and get it out there so that you can get better and learn and start finding your people so that you can create for those people specifically. Especially because it's, we're getting these really great places with algorithms where they're really helping us find our people, or rather they're really helping people find us so that they can really connect and get what they want. Like I'm a tech person too. Like I have a bunch of, like, I'm not true my own horn. Like I have, because of my work, I have like 3 different studio setups and I've done all this stuff. And like, I've gone to go learn about, like I said, it's how you came into my life. I needed to go figure out how to do a simple lighting thing. And every lighting tutorial video I would find was like really elaborate. And then I found yours. And I was like, what? A woman teaching me about lighting? And it's pink and it's simple. More of this. And so when I had questions about trying to figure out something particular, I'd go to your channel. I would do the little search for stuff, and it was able to get through stuff. And of course, you've gotten lots of affiliates for me. But it's just one of those things that's like, the reason I connected with you is because it's like, you're a woman in my space. You talk simply to me. You talked in a way that I could relate to and understand. And you also like got to the point and stuff. So just it allows you, like, you can find your people in those spaces.
Yeah.
And spend that time and support them in any way that you can. You didn't know that. I've never commented on your videos. I just was like, I'm going to send her an email and ask her to be on my podcast one day. And that's how we got here.
That's so cute. Yeah. No, I think, I don't know, I have a very no bullshit approach when it comes to making my videos. I just want to like talk to you like a regular person instead of with all the jargon that no one really understands or cares about.
Or like the
I'm extra- glad that resonated with you.
Well, there's not all the extra cinematography that has to prove to me that I know what I'm talking about and that like I am just like the shit with all the stuff. I'm like, no, I just want to know how to set up accent lighting. I don't need to see the snowy countryside of Canada. I just go to your studio and set up a light, please. So
yeah, and I think that I mean if we talk very quickly again about what makes someone unique, I think that all of these different approaches and someone making a very cinematic piece and then someone else who does it more the way that I do, which is very like accessible, easy kind of way of making videos or like of teaching a certain thing so you can do it. I think there is a place for everything on YouTube, and that makes YouTube so great. So I don't know. I just think that if you want to do YouTube, please come and join us because we would love that.
Come join us. We have cake, kind of.
So. Is it carrot cake?
Whatever cake you want. Okay, so I always ask this, and we haven't gone to it because we've been having such a good just like riff things on our brain conversation. Share with us what your business looks like. So as content creators, our ultimate goal is to get to that money-making business side of content creation. Can you share with us, like, what does your business look like as someone who teaches people about video, lighting, cinematography, all that stuff?
Yeah, so my business consists of me. I am. Hey, it's me. I'm everything. I do it all. I do have an editor, like a freelance editor that I work with. But I do also edit my videos myself. It just kind of depends on where we're at and what our calendars look like. But yeah, what does my business look like? I don't know. I think for me, the primary way of earning money right now is sponsorships, which I would like to change at some point because it's great and it's lucrative. But I think there's other ways that might just take the pressure off a little bit, you know, of making videos. So I just have different income streams. I have sponsorships. I do consulting. I have affiliate links that you very kindly clicked on when you bought some light. So that is great. That, you know, that feeds my cats. What else? I mean, I'm working on a course. So that's going to be another way that the part of my business. I have digital products that I sell. But yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot of hats that one person wears.
Are you finding balance and joy in doing all of those tasks? And like, is it becoming financially sustainable for you?
I mean, it's financially sustainable because it's my full-time job. So it's definitely financially sustainable. But is it what I want to be doing all the time by myself? No. And I'm currently really enjoying my slow life, which is funny because I had a conversation about that today where you have these seasons where you just want to work and you just got to do all these things and you're always thinking about the next video. You need to do this and that. And I'm like, no, fuck that. I don't want to do that right now. I just want to chill. I just want to wake up. I just want to, you know, do nothing for a little bit and then start working. And some days I'm just like, no, I'm going to organize the house today. Does that bring in less money? Yes. But as long as I can pay my bills, I just think people are so obsessed with the next big thing and making money in case this ever goes away. But in case this does ever go away, which I hope is not going to be the case, but in case this does end, I don't want to look back with regret and be like, oh man, I really wish that I took more advantage of the freedom that I had back then and the flexibility that I had back then, because all I was doing was just like trying to cash in, just build up my savings, which I'm still doing. But you know what I mean, right? Like, I feel like now we have, when you have the opportunity to enjoy life in a way that brings you joy, which is kind of double because you're enjoying it, whatever. I think you gotta do it. It's all balance. It's not just full-time all the time working, but I'll definitely have a season like that again. It's just not right now. Right now I'm just vibing.
I hear you. I'm heading into a work season after having a couple of years of frustrating stalling from working with my family through like mental health, but the creator life has given me the ability to have that flexibility that's really necessary. Yeah. But it's also nice. Like today I woke up and I'm just like, everything is horrible. Womaning is terrible. Like, why do I even have a uterus? And like, I got my kids off at school and I turned to my husband. I was like, let's go to breakfast. I'm like, let's squeeze in a little like morning breakfast date before we have to go, before I have meetings and stuff. So like, it's that freedom. Like, you can't do that at a job, and it's definitely something to enjoy at this season that I'm in for sure. So I totally respect that. Leila, it was amazing to talk with you. You are, again, someone I've been watching for so long and admired so much. So thank you for coming on the podcast. You can find everything that we talked about and links to her stuff over on our show notes at thewomenofvideo.com. Remember, you and everyone listening are possibly amazing. Until next week. Peace.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Women of YouTube podcast. We would love to know what you thought about this latest episode. So make sure to tag us with hashtag Women of YouTube with your thoughts.